Welcome to another edition of Game Misconduct. It's a 10-minute Game Misconduct, but let's be real. We like to blabber, so it's a little more than 10 minutes most of the time. But I don't know. This one may not be, because it kind of went in our favor. Also, don't forget, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your fellow Lightning fans, gamemisconduct.com. That's Ms. with a Z, to hear all of our podcasts if you want to catch up. But let's get into, this was game five.
Game five.
Sorry. The first game was like two and a half games, so it always throws me off. But game five of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals, Lightning versus Columbus Blue Jackets. And if you don't know that already, then why are you listening to the podcast? welcome to the party. Lightning were up 3-1 in the series after Monday's game. Then we found out a 12 o'clock puck drop for Wednesday game, which, whatever. It was time for lunch. I feel like I'd just gotten up and had breakfast, and then it was like, oh, it's time for lunch in the first period of a hockey game. Okay. So I can only imagine what the guys felt like. But let's talk about the first period.
Well, we said in our last show, or, you know, 10-minute game misconduct, that what we needed, or what we both wanted to see, was them come out real strong, score. I think we actually said a couple of goals really quick.
I said two goals real quick.
They did that.
Yeah.
And I thought,
just call me Nostradamus.
Once again, we are the hockey whisperers. We put it out in the ether, and then it formulates and becomes reality.
What we didn't put in the hockey ether is that the other team doesn't need to score the rest of the game either.
yeah.
And we they came out strong.
Yeah, they had to play 60 minutes. Unfortunately, they played really good in the first five.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played again really well in the last maybe
3 minutes.
3 minutes at the regulation.
Yeah.
And then was a whole different team in overtime, and it was weird.
The momentum shift. I mean, I don't think we have seen a game in a very long time where, and granted, we haven't seen our Lightning play in playoffs, very many playoff games since last year, mm-hmm. but I don't think I've seen a series in a very long time that had such huge ebbs and flows of momentum. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a big wave of momentum at the beginning in the first 5 minutes, and then it really dropped off and Columbus picked up the momentum. But I also feel like they were flat in that first period too. When they came out for the second period, I can only imagine what John Tortorella and the expletives that were coming out of his mouth in that first intermission after the first period were in the locker room to his guys. But then, you know, Columbus came out and they just were not letting, I don't know if we were sitting back or if they were pushing way harder or if we were just clamping down defensively. I don't really know what happened. I can't really say.
I can tell you that I think defensively the Lightning have played really well in bubble hockey. We've repeatedly talked about how impressive Shattenkirk has been. Bogosian's looked nice. Hedman is a superstar.
Hedman got rocked by Seth Jones in that third period. Woo! And he got right back up.
They just didn't look good defensively.
Yeah.
Through most of the game, sadly.
Yeah.
Sergachev was, just leave it at that. But the other thing I want to point out, because I'm kind of the person that always says, the refs aren't against you. But it did feel that way.
Were you listening to the radio call or were you watching TV?
I always listen to Dave and Phil.
Okay, so I was in my car right at the beginning of the game, and they were announcing the referees. And one of the referees, you could tell Phil was not a fan, and I think he even alluded to, he's one of the guys where one team will always get the penalties. And it basically, like, the Lightning, he only calls penalties on the Lightning.
Which is
what it felt like. I mean, you could have called penalties on both teams at many times, but I don't know. Like, I get it. They're trying to like clamp down on stuff, but it's still the playoffs.
I have an issue when things aren't called consistently.
Right.
If you want to call everybody for hooking,
then call everybody fine. For a hooking.
Everybody's getting called for slashing. Everybody's getting called for, you know, roughing.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's six calls against the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Foligno, every time the whistle stops, is hitting somebody in the back of the head or pushing them around or all this extracurricular activity, I get irritated.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that was really odd was, and this really started showing in around the second period and third period, what was with the weirdest icing calls and then non-icing call? So we're not going to call this for icing, but this is getting, it was just all over the place.
Mm.
And that doesn't help. Obviously, you know, one of those power, you know, penalty kills we can attribute to John Cooper, who, you know, decided to challenge what I thought was an obvious goal.
Mm.
I guess he was, it sounded, he was challenging goalie interference on the fourth goal.
Mm-hmm.
Columbus's fourth goal. And listening to Dave and Phil, they were just, this is a bad challenge here. Mm. Because unfortunately, now the way it works is you lose a challenge.
You get a penalty.
You get a penalty. And I thought, oh, let's not shoot ourselves in the foot here. We're already struggling. I did not think this was the best game the Lightning have played.
No.
I did not think game four was a very good game, but looking back, four wasn't that bad.
Well, yeah, comparatively. Well,
they, in all honesty, I cannot believe they tied it up in the third period because it didn't look like that was gonna a possibility.
I'm not even 100% sure they thought they would be able to, but when they got that third goal in there, the momentum shift just carried them. And I just remember yelling at the TV, like, come on guys, tie it up. Come on guys. So look, one, I'm very happy that Blake Coleman got a goal. Two.
Oh yes.
I'm very happy that Kevin Shattenkirk had a beautiful goal.
Yes.
Three, I'm very happy that Anthony Cirelli deflected a goal off of his skate because you're standing in front of the net and you're causing issues for the other team. Go to the front of the net. That is the perfect view or example to show them. When you go to the front of the net and you shoot the puck on net, good things can happen and you can tie up a game that you were losing.
Yeah.
And end up going into overtime and ending up, you know, closing out the series. So, and then I don't know how they let Braden Point by himself twice in front of Corposalo, but I'll take it because it worked out for us. I mean, he ended that marathon of an 8-period game for us, and then he ends this series. I mean,
ooh.
Hallelujah for Braden Point.
Why are you right in front of the net? If you give him a clean shot and he's got a clean look, it's going to go in.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. I think there was a little bit of
miscommunication.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think that maybe the extra periods were starting to catch up with Columbus, you know, and plus the, you know, you got to be in your head a little bit knowing that this is an elimination game and you let two goals late in the third period in.
You know you've been playing better.
When you've been the better team for most of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that messes with your psyche.
I think it's
the ebb and flow of the game, and it'll make you maybe have some, you know, missteps. But, you know, good teams find ways to win games. They may not have looked very good in the fourth game or the fifth game for the majority of it, but good teams find ways to win games. And I couldn't be happier that they were. I yelled in my condo by myself, and if anybody was walking by, I'm sure they thought I was crazy. And I'm yelling, we slayed the dragon! That's what it felt like.
People probably thought you were playing like Dungeons and Dragons in there
Game
or something.
Game of Thrones or something. I don't know. But that's what it felt like. I felt like everybody was able to exhale. Even though players and coaches are saying, we're not thinking about last year, but it's got to be in the peripheral. And even after the post-game handshake, once Cooper cleared the line, he walked away and he gave a little fist bump and like exhaled. Like you could, I mean, oh.
I think he probably also knows that they really stole one there.
Well, that too. But here's all, I'm kind of glad that they didn't win that game in a dominating fashion. for my blood pressure, I wish they had, but I'm kind of glad that they struggled through that game, because if it had been an easy game for them, I would have been worried about them going into the next series. Now, I really hope that Cooper and the coaching staff reiterates to them, guys, you probably shouldn't have won that game. You need to put a 60-minute effort together. You did not win the cup by winning the first round, even though they were kind of like your nemesis since last year. You have not won anything yet. You just have another life in the video game. And get it together. Like, you're a better team than what you showed on the ice in game 4 and 5. You were lucky to win those games.
Yeah, so. They really were. I mean, the Gord line once again was great.
Yeah.
Love that line in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. I really love it. And I know Phil and Dave at the post game were trying to do the hockey math to figure out, I think if Philadelphia wins, it will be Philadelphia. But then there's other ways that it could be.
Oh, really?
That's what it sounded like they were saying.
Oh, gosh. I'm so confused.
You know, when you pull up the bracket and look, it's the winner of Philadelphia-Montreal. So I don't know if there's a weird reseeding that happens.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I mean, I just thought it was the winner of Philadelphia-Montreal.
Okay.
And there, which, you know, Philadelphia is playing tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're up 3-1. So.
Yeah, I think they said there are a bunch of games today that
are 3-1
that are elimination games. So.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So they could. Dave Mishkin, of course, I'm speaking of, did mention that if everybody clears, they may start a little sooner than they had expected to.
No.
But that would be everybody.
Yeah, you know, everybody would have to clear in 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they should do that. I don't know. Just keep it on the schedule, man. Like, I know, like, players are probably getting stir-crazy in the confined area that they're in, but come on, guys. Like, let's just keep some semblance of order here. But anyway, I like, it was so funny because you texted me before the third and fourth goal were scored by the Lightning. And you said, well, our show is going to be short today. I don't have much to say.
I have nothing to say. I was mad.
I could tell. Because you normally don't text me during a game. And I was like, oh, she's pissed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, or not. Maybe I will have some things to say. But it was like they finally woke up and realized, yeah, this is kind of an important game. It could get you a couple days rest. And, you know, all that stuff. So it was just kind of funny. But anything else you want to say on the game before we move on?
Not really. Just that they have to play the way they played in the first 5 minutes. And then in the 5 minutes or so of, you know, the first 5 minutes and the very last 5 minutes. And right. I think they'll be golden. We probably should talk about maybe something quick about Rick Peckham.
Well, yes, I was going to parlay into that. So I didn't realize until the end of the game and the post game that was the last time I was going to hear Rick Peckham call a Lightning game. And I got kind of upset. I was like, why hadn't I paid attention to that? But I guess the national feed will take over after this round. So,
but he'll still do the shows that he does. He does that morning skate show.
Oh, yep, good. Okay.
And he'll be doing the interview, intermission reports, and all of that.
Okay.
That's what Dave and Phil had explained.
Okay, great.
So, but yeah, and what a wonderful man.
Yeah. And
how cool that he gets to call his last game in a playoff clinching series.
Yeah,
like, what an uptick. You know, what a way to leave.
Yeah, and if you were watching the TV broadcast on Sun Sports, they showed a side-by-side of what was happening on the ice and him calling that last goal. Oh. And it was so cool to watch because it's not something we see all the time. We just hear the voice. So it was really cool to watch how he worked. And they had a nice little send-off at the end with Dave Vanderchuk and Bobby the Chief Taylor and Paul Kennedy, like a nice little champagne toast. And, you know, he thanked his family and his and the fans and the player and everybody in the organization. They gave him a really cool Lightning jersey that said 24 on the back with his name. And he's like, I hope Bogosian's okay with this. And we're like, because it was he's been doing it for 24 years. So hence the 24. So, yeah, that was the last call. He'll be retiring after this season is over. So he'll still, like you said, be doing some of those things for Sun Sports, but just not calling the games for the rest of this the playoff run. So, I mean, I don't believe they've announced what they're going to do for next year. I'm very curious to see, but it's going to be, they're going to be big shoes to fill. Big, yeah. Big shoes to fill. Cause I don't remember hearing a game called, well, maybe that first season or so, first couple seasons, but it's, I mean, I'm really not sure what a TV broadcast would be called on the local feed. What it would sound like, because I know for sure I'm not a fan of the national feeds when they call it.
Yeah, and they've had a plenty of time, but you know they're very quiet about these things.
Yep.
So they'll announce somebody.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they don't want to overshadow his last. I mean,
remember when Brian Engblom joined? It was like, oh, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks before the season started. We all got an email. I was like, oh, like, cool.
Oh, that national awesome. Guy.
Okay.
Okay. And I love him. I think he's just fantastic.
He's awesome.
So whoever the next play-by-play person will be does have very big shoes to fill, but will be working with an absolutely fantastic crew.
Yes.
And broadcast partner. So
absolutely. I'm excited. But I'm going to cherish the last couple moments that we have to see him, you know, be with the Lightning in some form or fashion. So just wanted to give a little shout out to Rick Beckham because he's awesome and amazing and
he's
we're going to miss him.
Guy.
But if anybody's earned his retirement, it is that man right there.
Yeah.
So. All right, Dory. So we probably won't talk until we may have a little special episode between now and then, but otherwise we won't talk until after game one. Of
the next
Eastern Conference
semifinal.
And we're not even really sure who that's going to be yet. So hopefully the guys will get some rest and relax and recharge those batteries for the next run of the playoffs. All right.
Still in Toronto.
If you have anything you want us to cover or talk about, or you want us to give you a shout out, hit us up on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Also, if you're listening to these on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. Let people know what you think of the show. All right, that's it for Game Miz Conduct. We'll catch you next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.